This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
House Republicans are proposing an estimated $300 billion in cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, and they want states to foot the bill. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. If legislation moves forward, states would have to pay for at least 5% of SNAP benefits for their residents, starting in 2028. It's a move some fear could leave states in worse financial positions and force them to reduce the amount of people who can receive benefits. Last year, nearly 2 million Illinois residents got SNAP benefits. So what could this mean for them? With us to discuss was Manyi Lee, Director of Communications at the Greater Chicago Food Depository, and Veronica Cox, who's a mom of three and current SNAP recipient. Manyi kicked us off with her thoughts on the proposed cuts.
These cuts, if they go ahead, are going to be devastating for Illinois families. What you mentioned earlier about the there's going to be alarming complete overhaul of how SNAP is funded mm-hmm. in Illinois. And so basically they're planning to shift a significant share of the financial responsibility of the program to individual states. And they're planning to do that in two different ways. Firstly, as you mentioned, states will be asked to pay up to 25% of SNAP costs, and that amount is usually based off the error rate of the program in the state. And so for Illinois, that will mean, based on 2023 figures, mm-hmm. We will be having to pay 20% of SNAP costs, which will amount to around $888 million
wow.
a year.
And this is from not having to pay anything at all, right? Yeah. Because the federal government would fully pay for these benefits.
Yeah, basically that will mean that, I mean, most states are not going to be able to bear that cost. And so what's going to happen there is that then states are going to be forced to have to cut benefits, cut the amount of benefits that families get, or they will have to tighten eligibility, which in both scenarios are disastrous.
Yeah. What strikes me too is a statement, Manyi, from the Greater Chicago Food Depository, in which your group says, you know, this is deeply disappointing and that it's going to drastically weaken SNAP at a time when one in five Chicago area households are experiencing food insecurity.
Yeah, quite simply, it's going to devastate a lot and a lot of families. You know, we know that elevated food prices, elevated cost of living and housing costs right now are really challenging families to put food on the table. And so when you're talking about cutting essential services and programs like SNAP and Medicaid as well, there's talks about that too, it's really going to deal a huge blow to a lot of families mm-hmm. who rely on these resources.
And Medicaid and Head Start, right, for childcare, just so many different programs that families rely on the chopping block, essentially. Speaking of families, Veronica, I got to look at you, right? When you hear, as a mom of three, this type of proposal, what goes through your mind immediately?
Just how we're going to eat, what's going to happen, because it's not just not having the SNAP, but for me, I'm fighting for disability. So by me being on disability and being disabled, SNAP plays a huge role in my home. You know, so being able to feed myself and my three children will become extremely difficult, especially since I don't have no real income coming in. Child support isn't enough. It fluctuates. So other than that, SNAP is really how I feed my children.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah,
SNAP is
hard.
It's a central source.
It is.
Of income stability. Were you surprised to hear this, just given the way things had been going, or were you expecting that something would hit the SNAP program at some point?
Well, knowing who's in office, it kind of was kind of expected. Something was going to happen. Well, everything being cut down, but I didn't know it was going to be to that extent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, from what I was hearing, they can lower the age limit for who's a child, you know, the age limit of the child.
Yes.
And for me, I have a 15, 9, and a 7-year-old.
15, 9, and 7.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, if you all lower down to 7, I mean, none of my kids would be eligible on yes. top of myself.
Let me give listeners the specifics there that you're alluding to. So part of this proposal is, you know, specifically, sounds to me like it's going to make things harder for people to qualify, right? Mm-hmm. Just to even qualify out the gate, right? Because what they're saying, the administration is saying, is they want to expand the current work requirements you know, raise the age limit of able-bodied adults who need to satisfy work requirements from 54 to 64, and expand the work requirements for household with a dependent child above 7. Again, as you said, that's going to create some hardships
yes,
for you.
Definitely.
And your family. Last year, Manny, more than 500,000 people received SNAP in Cook County alone. Again, just talk about the need here, especially.
Yeah. I mean, and that's not surprising to us because we see it every day at our pantry, our network of pantries. But coupled with everything that's been going on since the pandemic and families really trying to regain financial stability for their household budgets, it's been really, really hard. And so, what you mentioned about the dependence, tightening the age for the dependent, mm-hmm. what is considered a dependent child. Just to give context, currently, any parent who has a child that is under the age of 18 is considered a dependent child. But now, by lowering that so that it's only until 7, mm-hmm. and so any parent that's with a child that's aged over 7, they are not considered dependent. So,
which Veronica has two.
Yes.
Two of three.
Yes.
And so what that will mean, especially for Veronica, well, that will mean that then they deem her as not having a dependent child anymore. And so then she will not be eligible for benefits. And what that means for her children, we're not sure yet. We're a little unclear about that.
And I'm thinking about the fact that you have a 9-year-old
yes.
in the bunch. So your 9-year-old's not a dependent?
Right. Yes.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah. Devastating, because she can't go out and work, you know, and even if she could, she's not. I'm right. not going to require that of her. She just needs to stick to school. And that's another thing, too, that I try to tell my kids, no matter what the government might do, I need you all to focus on what's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Just finish school. You shouldn't be worried about where your next meal going to come from. You shouldn't be worried about how we're going to get food. You know,
yes.
that should be the least of your worries.
Mm-hmm.
So to know that all of this is going on and then to hear that, yeah, they're not dependent, you know, anymore. It's like, are you for real? So how everything will be calculated, how everything else will be calculated that we can use them for on taxes and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it just questions a lot how a domino effect, you know, the type of domino effect you'll have.
For sure. How are things at the food depository menu right now?
We're very busy.
Yeah.
I'm not
going to
lie.
An increase in demand.
Yeah. As I mentioned, we have a network of more than 850 partner pantries, soup kitchens, and meal programs across Chicago and Cook County. And last year, we had a record year. We served 2.4 million households last year.
Wow.
And that is actually surpassing at the height of the pandemic. That's a very sobering thought if you think about it.
Yeah.
Things are not slowing down, certainly not slowing down. And we are trying to get food out to our pantries as quickly as possible so that we can continue to serve families.
So if SNAP is cut, if this does go through, Manny, again, what does this mean for the organization? As you talked about there, you've got a lot of folks coming to you. So what sorts of conversations are you having now about the changes that you'll have to make?
Well, we have been managing so far with having to step up our fundraising efforts, as well as we are securing more food donations from retailers and food manufacturers than we ever have done. We've improved that program to be a lot more efficient so that we can rescue a lot of food as well, so we can still get food out into the community. But yeah, it's going to really stretch our resources, and it's going to make it even that much harder for us. I don't think that, you know, hunger is not going to be solved by just one entity. It's got to be more than just emergency food system and food banks like the Greater Chicago Food Depository. It's going to take more than us to solve hunger. We need public, private entities, philanthropy, all working together in order to help make it easier for families.
Yeah, there's a ripple effect. Right?
Correct, yeah.
And Veronica, you said earlier, I expected something like this, yeah. Right? But there's one thing to have an expectation, then another to have to realistically figure out life without something that you've come to rely on. Mm-hmm. How are you sitting with that right now? How is that being processed in your mind?
Honestly, to be honest, I can't worry about tomorrow. And then that's where I'm at with everything that's been going on. By me having the type of faith that I have, whatever God might see fit, he's going to see me through.
Yeah.
So if we do fall short, it'll be somewhere he's going to provide. So it's like, really, I don't worry about it. I really don't. If it happens, it do. But if it doesn't, glory be to God. But however it might go, I just try to stay focused on the day, you know. And
yeah, as a mom myself, I know how we are masters of the art of juggling, right?
Yes.
And paying what we need to pay and moving money where it needs to go and making sure that bills are covered and our kids are fed and the lights are on and the rent is paid. So it's just another juggling act.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. That's all.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
If some of this burden does fall on the states, Manny, talk more about the trickle effect in Illinois, the trickle-down effect.
The reality is going to be that states like Illinois may not be able to offer SNAP anymore, or severely have to restrict the number of people that are eligible for SNAP, or, as I mentioned, reducing the amount that each family gets. And at a time, as you mentioned, when one in five families in the Chicago metro area are facing food insecurity, that's really going to devastate our area. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to have to work that extra hard, much harder, and it's going to be really, really tough.
In the meantime, we all sort of sit in this period of uncertainty. So what are conversations looking like at the Food Depository in the meantime?
We're bracing ourselves for anything and everything, you know, and we also know the reality is that lines are going to get longer at our food pantries. That is without a doubt.
Yeah.
Our pantries are already serving record numbers, as I mentioned. It's just not going to be something that we are going to be able to solve alone.
Yeah, but you stay prepared.
That's
in the meantime.
Yeah,
I'll give you the last word, Veronica. Maybe there's a mom listening right now who is worried. Yeah. She doesn't have the level of faith that you've demonstrated today. What would you say?
Just take your time. You know, with what you do have, just build, you know, get you some canned goods, get the things that's necessary. You know, don't freak out about it. You know, we can survive off certain types of food. You know, stay in your budget. You know, don't overspend. Get what you need to get. Get the important things, you know, and just take it one day at a time and just build your pantry, build your refrigerator, get you a deep freezer.
Yes.
And if it comes, you'll be at least a little bit more prepared, you know, so, yeah.
Veronica Cox is a mom of three and a current SNAP recipient. And Manny Lee is Director of Communications at the Greater Chicago Food Depository. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Ari Mejia. Here on Reset, we have deep conversations about Chicago's most pressing issues. So to stay connected to every episode, why don't you hit subscribe where you listen? or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again later today.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.